His cross, our cross. Let me talk to you this morning about His cross. His cross. See, what was crucifixion or death, especially during Bible times? See, crucifixion actually was considered the most brutal form of capital punishment in Bible times. Matter of fact, it was the preferred method of the Roman Empire to basically make an example of someone who had dared defy Roman rule or Roman law. See, at this time, when Jesus was alive, the Romans had basically conquered most of the known world. They took over basically the Greek Empire. The Greeks came before them. The Romans conquered them and even expanded their kingdom even further. See, with crucifixion, they would intentionally find a very well-known place in the area. Very popular, very visible. Because they wanted everyone to see what happens to anyone who would dare defy Roman law. Now, the part of the process of crucifixion that really isn't talked about a lot, it's called the flogging. Now, the Bible word is actually scourging. See, what would happen is a centurion would take his soldiers, they'd grab the prisoner who was going to be crucified, they'd bring him up to a large pole, they would strip him naked, they would tie his hands above him, and they'd tie him to a pole. They would take what's called a flagrum. And I think they're going to show you a picture of what a flagrum looks like. Basically, it was a handle. It had usually 2 to 3 leather cords. They would tie in intervals through the leather cords little knots. Inside those knots, they would insert pieces of either metal or bone. See, the objective with this type of whip was not just to lash you. The objective of this was to hit you with it. The bone or the metal would insert itself into your back, and then they would rip it out. Matter of fact, these were skilled people. Their goal was to get you to bleed to the point where you were almost dead. They didn't want to kill you yet, because remember, they were going to crucify you. They just wanted you almost dead. Now, once the condemned prisoner was scourged, they actually brought him naked to a cross. And I want to show you what that cross really would look like. I have a couple friends here that'll help me. So why don't you grab that cross and bring it out here for everyone to see. See? They would bring him naked to a cross like this. And then he would carry it publicly to that place of execution. Now, obviously, you can see them. It's taking two gentlemen to try and lift this cross. Obviously, if you've just been whipped and scourged to the point where you're almost dead, you're not going anywhere with something of this size. So what they would actually do is this top crossbar was separated. And they would carry just that. They would put it on their back. And then you know what would happen is they then would carry it to the place of execution. Following behind that prisoner, they would have a crier. The crier would follow them and would yell out their crimes. Why they were being crucified. They would also take a plaque. And they would write on the plaque the primary charges against this person. And it would be nailed to the very top of the cross. See, this is basically a life-size cross. It was 12 feet by 6 feet. The only difference with this one is the bottom is flat on this cross. On a real cross, it would be a spike. Because what they would do is they would take the prisoner naked. They would lie him on the cross. They would hammer with these huge spikes into him. And then they would turn the cross up and they would shove it down into the ground with a spike because they wanted everyone to see. I don't know about you, but I've seen some movies. Have you ever seen some of the movies of the crucifixion being retold? The part that always got to me the most, though, wasn't it the sound? When you heard the... Picturing that going into the hands and the feet of Jesus? Thank you for your help. Now, why did Jesus need to die on a cross for us? Why? Well, the Bible actually tells us. Now, I'm going to have some scriptures put up for you so you don't have to turn and you can just kind of follow along. But in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, it reads this way. It says, "We know that what we used to be was nailed to the cross with him. That happened so our sinful bodies would lose their power. We are no longer slaves to sin." See, those who have died have been set free from sin. We died with Christ, so we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ was raised from the dead and will never die again. Death does not control him anymore. You see, when he died once and for all, and for all time as far as sin was concerned. Now that he lives as far as God is concerned. You see, we were powerless against sin in our life. We were actually slaves to it. We were prisoners with no way of escape. There was no possibility of parole. There was nothing we can do to break the power of sin in our life. Nothing. We needed a Savior. Our God, Father in heaven, he saw that and he loved us so much and he was willing to do anything to save us. And he did. He sent his Son. He sent his Son to die in our place. So you see, our sins were nailed to his cross. Everything that we've said, everything that we've done that disqualifies you from living forever, from going to heaven, he took that on his cross. He broke the power of sin and death in our life. We are no longer slaves. Death does not control us anymore. See, when he died, the scripture says he died once and for all. But now that he lives, we get to live forever. I love this scripture in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 14. It says, "At one time, you were dead in your sins. Your sinful nature was not circumcised, but God gave you new life together with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He wiped out the written law with its rules. The law was against us. It opposed us. He took it away and nailed it to the cross." See, that's the power of his cross. What we were powerless to do, Jesus was more powerful than anything. Not even sin or death was strong.